The canny ringleaders worked their will through the scowling mob like maggots through a ripe cheese, insulating themselves from the apoplectic colonel's hawk-eyed stare behind wavering ranks of muttering men. His rasping bark knocked the guts from the unfortunates pressed up in the front rank quicker than a bellyful of chainshot, and undermined the uncertain rabble packed in behind them. But their colonel's exasperated challenges failed to silence the whispers at the back, to still the sly, shuffling, shiftless insinuations of the hidden old hands, Michael Slaughter's renegade veterans. Elder sergeants and scarred corporals, pierced by their commander's pale-eyed gaze, looked away, studied the battered steeple rising crookedly from the squat Saxon church across the square. Ragged waifs in greasy buff coats examined the waxy filth under their fingernails rather than endure his hateful glare. But not a man jack of them moved.
"Slaughter's foot, have a care,"
Captain Shea warbled, red-faced and as nervous as a new colt before the angry mob of men.
"Advance your pikes and muskets," he ordered.
The thickets of battle-grimed weapons bristled like reeds in a breeze, but their surly owners remained where they were, leaning wearily on their pikes as if they were at the end of a long day's march, not being ordered off on one. The musketeers' charges clinked on their worn bandoliers as they shuffled in sympathy with their comrades in arms. Michael Slaughter strode along the front rank, his feral breath hanging in threatening clouds about his pale face. They drew away from him as if he had the plague, a buboed victim rising from the lime pit to ensnare their souls.
"I thought it was King's men they'd set me to lead, not a pack of damned rebels,"
Slaughter snarled, spittle spotting his wax-encrusted buff coat.
"Who says they won't march?"
he demanded, voice as harsh as a raven's in the misty morning. Long years of campaigning on the continent, and more recently in Ireland, had mangled his accent and clipped the corners from his vowels. A scowling pack gathered in the village square despised his dialect as much as his manner, found his stern and vigorous command almost unbearable after long months of easier service. Who did he think he was ordering about the damned bogtrotter?
"Well,"
Slaughter roared. His chilling challenge sparked another epidemic of boot shuffling, another blind surge of whispering from the sly soldiers at the back.
"We won't serve any Irish,"
came an answering call from the obscurity of the rearguard, a mass of smeared faces peering over their comrades' shoulders. Michael Slaughter squinted in at them as if he was a gamekeeper out after a copse full of poachers. He gazed at their resentful faces, turned away beneath steaming felt hats, dew-jeweled Morion helmets. He thought the shout had come from the wagon lines, stalled beside the abandoned inn on the far side of the trampled village green. He couldn't even remember the name of the place. So much had happened so quickly since he had been sent down from Oxford to take command of these swineherds they had dared called a regiment. The former colonel, John Sparks, had succumbed to the fevers which had decimated the training depot, weeded out the weediest of their weedy new recruits. Slaughter had inherited a sickly, surly mob, ill-disposed to marching, let alone fighting. God only knew how these wretched shits would act under fire. He had been instructed to assume command and complete the march to Gloucester, to bring the newly raised regiment into the king's camp before the hastily erected walls of the old market town. They were 10 miles short, a day's march from their triumphant monarch's mighty encampment, 10 miles short of the war which had been simmering and spluttering up and down the country for the past 12 months. They could hear the dull thump of the guns clearly enough, but instead of marching on through the night to join King Charles's irresistible army, they had dawdled and dwindled, running off into the woods as soon as the new colonel's back was turned.
"You're all fools,"
Slaughter growled.
"I'm a Midlands man, as well you know."
The surly pack knew no such thing. He was fresh off the boat from Ireland, the devil's own doorstep. Who, why, and where he had served too complicated a matter for their campfire deliberations. If he'd come from Ireland, he must be Irish. Irish or not, he was no better than the rest of the murdering papist heathens who slaughtered men, women, and children during the notorious rebellions and constant bloodletting which the news sheets had been breathlessly reporting for the past 2 years. Scenes of rape and slaughter luridly reproduced in crude but effective woodcuts, in endless pages of badly set type. The wild rumours were puffed up like a paper galleon and blown into every port along the coast, along with the pale-faced refugees, the pitifully few survivors of the Holocaust. The scandalous stories were repeated around 1,000 towns, passed like the pox from camp to camp, army to army, horrifying soldier and civilian alike. Even those readers hardened by reports of the atrocities on the continent blanched at the descriptions of the abominations being committed in Ireland.